month ago where, like, me and Miller just talked about him.
That doesn't count. Replays don't count.
Yeah, but it does to the I was hoping we could just never talk about him again.
And we're not.
And eventually people would notice. You know, they say
my streak
AA,
is continuing straight.
Don't tell people you're sober. Show them you're sober. That's a thing in AA. And, like, you know, talking about this guy telling people he's sober.
By showing them you're sober, does that mean, like, lecturing them about their sobriety?
No.
Is that?
No, it means, like, if you're a bad alcoholic and you stop drinking and you change with time, even without telling people you're sober, they're going to go, hey, you used to be a big Richard and you're kind of cool now. What happened? And then you tell them.
Right. And then they say, oh, I found Jesus, or I sobered up, or I go to the gym now, or I, you know.
I go to Jim Bab now.
No.
You know, but I was hoping that would happen. Like, after 4 or 5 months, people go, hey, I think I listen to Fiends anymore. I heard you're not just talking about He Who Cannot Be Named nonstop.
Right.
But no, it's been less than a week and you brought him up. But
no, I didn't mean to. We just kind of, we were talking in the break and it just went into the music because I'm unprofessional.
I let that happen, though. I wanted to get you. I wanted you to pay the fine. No one's paid the fine yet.
Oh, you know what? I'll give antiwar.com $20 just because, you know, because they deserve it. So just for even coming near it, I'll throw them $20.
Oh, that's thank fair. You. Yeah. So when are you going to go feed the homeless?
Well, I asked Steve about that, and he wants it to be, he said, I asked him last week, he said about a month, so let it warm up, and because then that way you don't have to, like, look for them deep in their lairs, they come out into the sun, and it's a better operation,
Take their spring bath at the church.
the fire hydrant, you know, when they start opening fire hydrants for bathing, you'll know it's time
to feed the homeless. Yeah, and then if they notice their shadow, there's 2 more months of feeding the homeless.
So soon, I'm looking forward to it. So hopefully that'll be soon.
So Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and feet stink. And you said in your show notes that maybe we should have a new nemesis, or that I should have a new nemesis, and it's Austin Peterson. You didn't know that Lisa and I were on the internet bashing that sociopathic phony today.
No, I actually had no idea. I was, like, you know, busy doing fun stuff and, you know, not paying attention to the internet. But I just thought, you know, you've gotten rid of one nemesis, right? And sort of the neat thing, if you did want to choose Austin Peterson as a new nemesis, interestingly, he's also a nemesis of the He Who Shall Not Be Named former nemesis. So it could be create like a three-way like conflict that could be very interesting, I think, for the audience.
Me and him might create some weird drama. We hate some of the same people.
Right. Yeah.
It's not unusual. But
yeah.
Austin Peterson, well, I wanna say he's a phony sociopath too and see if he tries to sue me. That'd be an interesting thing for his Libertarian Party campaign right now. To bring out his true colors is that he can't take criticism. Now, Lisa, you have personal experience with this, don't you?
Oh, yeah. We go way back. So
I don't like the sound of this.
It's not pretty. Yeah, I actually used to interact with him quite a bit on Facebook a while back.
You first
back.
Met him on the using the Rumbler app. For street fights, and he's highly ranked as being highly punchable on Rumbler. So,
yeah,
he is. I'll fight him with my oxygen tank behind my back.
I would pay to see that. I would donate money to anti-war, a lot of money to see that.
Yeah,
yeah.
He wouldn't donate to anti-war. He likes war.
He
thinks the non-aggression principle is bad, and sometimes you just gotta, you know, collectively institute violence. That's his brand of libertarianism, and it's not libertarianism. The guy should just call himself a Republican, because he is.
Well, yeah, I asked him about that, and that's one of the things that kind of started our little, I don't know what you want to call it.
Well, he also plagiarized you, didn't he? Didn't he plagiarize you?
Yeah.
With someone on his site?
Someone on his site did. She actually was pretty brazen, stole a graphic that I designed and used it in an article in which she plagiarized me and a friend of mine. And so, of course, I saw that on his Facebook page. And
this is the website that shall not be mentioned.
Right. Yeah. I don't even want to say the name of it. I really don't want to say the name of it.
Clickbait.com.
It's called Libertarian Democrat, I think.
No, it's libertarian buzzfeed.com.
Yeah.
Well, our little falling out started when he posted an article about reasons that libertarians should vote for Ted Cruz. So I said,
"Wow,
when are you going to change the name of your site to the Republican Republic?" And I was sort of joking around with him, giving him a hard time, and he got really mad. He called me a couple of things I won't say on the radio, and that's kind of when it started. And then he plagiarized me, and well, one of his writers did me
because you failed to embrace Ted Cruz. Am I following this correctly? You're like, hey, I don't know. I'm actual libertarian, and Ted Cruz is kind of this like horrible status monster. Explain this to me, and then he got all mad.
Yeah, he got really mad, and you know, he really came after me. And what was kind of nice is most of his followers, you know, backed me up, and they were like, whoa, you know, you shouldn't talk to her like that. She's right. You know, why are you promoting Ted Cruz? And so it became this big battle on his wall. And then shortly after that, I don't know, maybe a couple of months later is when the plagiarism thing happened. And so I went to his wall, and I on the article in the comments, and I very politely said, you know, that's my graphic. I designed that for my employer. And, you know, some of an article I wrote and an article a friend of mine wrote were, you know, blatantly copied in this article. Could you give credit or edit, you know, get my graphic out of there?
Now, he must have been horrified. Oh, I was going to say, like, any reputable publisher would be horrified that something would slip past the guard and damage his credibility as a journalist and the reputation of his entire website and any future presidential campaign he may have.
That's the worst thing a publisher can do.
Yeah.
It really is.
No journalist like, it's worse than slander. Uh-huh. Yeah. I was pretty upset.
Worse than publishing something that's not true as true, which is pretty bad.
Yeah, I was pretty upset. So,
well, he's not bound by anything like the non-aggression principles, you know, he's.
So what did he do to you? Show me on the doll where Austin Peterson touched you.
At that point, he just blocked me entirely, so I couldn't. You know, I could read.
Now, well, I'm sure he had first he made a principled argument against intellectual property from an anarcho-capitalist perspective.
He didn't even do that.
He's not anarcho-capitalist.
He didn't even give me. Yeah, he didn't even give me the pleasure of that. I didn't even get to have a debate with him. He just blocked me.
He thinks that, you know, we're ruining liberty. He thinks that anarcho-capitalists are the reason liberty isn't further. Whereas I think that people who are into tenth measures, not even half measures of liberty like him, are why it's not further. Because I think if you're still mucking around in the political system, first of all, you're a sociopath. Except for Ron Paul, only
or just really good
run
at,
for
or you're
office.
In it for the trolling. And I,
he's in it for
I
the think, chicks.
Ooh,
I think
to become
That's
one or
possible.
To get them.
Yeah, to become one. Nice, Lou.
One of his big things is he constantly bashes on the zero aggression principle as if it's some kind of lunacy and everything else. So he says, without government, I would kill people. And I believe that's a direct quote that he actually said that. He said that without government, he would kill people. I don't know if you would start raping and robbing, but he said that he would kill people. Well, the market has a solution for that. It's called the Glock 17 9mm. And
we can defend ourselves from guys like that, right?
Yeah. So,
well, he may have a scheme to taint milk or something. Like, who knows? We didn't actually know how he'd be killing people, right?
Maybe he has a scheme to taint the drinking water in Flint, Michigan.
Yeah, well, or maybe he'll just like get really drunk and drive around town. You know, I don't know.
Who was it? Was it Bender on Futurama? Who's like, as soon as those idiots vote for me, they'll be sorry. No, it's Homer Simpson, wasn't it?
I don't know.
I feel like that should be Trump's motto. It should be all their mottos. As soon as those idiots vote me in, they'll be sorry.
Well, yeah. You know, it's been hypothesized that Trump is just a massive trolling campaign of the whole sort of
for Hillary
country and electoral system.
Oh,
I think
he's working for Hillary. To make sure the GOP don't win. But I think now that he's gotten as far as he has, he's forgotten about that and gone rogue.
I think the GOP is trying to make sure that the GOP doesn't win. Because if you look at the average voter,
they're good at that.
I what a bunch of blithering idiots. My God.
And, you know, a lot of libertarians like this Austin Peterson guy. They're blind. They're
idiots. No, they don't. No,
yeah, they
don't.
In Croatia. They're all,
no.
Lisa and what? I saw a thread today with 8 or 9 people in Croatia who strongly back voting for him.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago that Croatia was still a socialist country, hardcore socialist. I know. So, I'm not buying that nonsense.
Wasn't that long ago that Croatia was ethnically cleansing half its population? That was in my lifetime.
Right.
Yeah, mine too.
It's true.
That, as a matter of fact, that was in Nick's
lifetime, wasn't it, almost?
Yeah. Oh, that was in my military career.
Yeah, thank you for your food service when you were cooking the Army.
Yeah. Hey, I got an H.L. Mencken quote since we're talking about elections. On some great and glorious day, the plain folks of the land will reach their heart's desire at last, and the White House will be adorned by a downright moron.
Yeah, and it won't be Austin Peterson, because fortunately, he's running for the Libertarian Party, and they've had like 41 years of trying to get a toe in, and they, you know...
But they used to at least run libertarians for president, right? They used to like
they gave it up. They don't run them for anything, man. The guy that ran 4 years ago in Wyoming for governor under Libertarian Party, I met him, and he was like, first of all, he was racist. He was using the term wetbacks for migrants from other countries, and he said like out and out, like, I'm not a libertarian, but I'm the guy you should vote for because blah 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 blah. Whereas Austin Peterson is pretending to be libertarian. You know,
he's also bragging about not being libertarian. That's a credential for him. Yeah, he said non-aggression principle. I didn't sign blank expletive.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's proud of his non-libertarian credentials. I'm going to go screw them up. I'm sure that's what he's saying.
Yeah, there's a really good... well, you know what it really is? It's the only party that would have him. He'd love to be running... He'd love to be, like, debating Trump as a Republican.
And
his
We're
out.
Chasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
So we're talking about Austin Peterson. Austin Peterson, for those of you listening on radio, is someone you've never heard of and you never will. He's running for Libertarian Party. It's one of 10 people running for Libertarian. You know, if you're going to vote Libertarian Party, vote for Daryl Perry. He's a good guy. He's a friend of ours. He's not a sociopath. And he can take criticism. And
he is definitely the lesser of 12 evils. Yeah.
He's my favorite government thug or wannabe government thug. So
nobody would be a better president than Daryl Perry.
Yeah, that's true. that should be his motto. That's a freebie
That's my endorsement right there.
Still voting? Vote for Daryl Perry. There you go. That should be the yard sign. So, what's this guy's name? Andy Buck. No, I forget. Who are we talking about? No more 10th measures. What's his name? Who's the guy we're talking about? I can't remember.
Bernie Sanders.
Okay, so I have a story about Austin Peterson. So, you know, our friend Jim Jesus, our co-host and friend Jim Jesus, made this great card deck called Libertarians Against Humanity. 3 volumes of it. And it's funny as heck, and it makes fun of, and it's really well done. You should go order them. Go to libertariansagainsthumanity.com. And it makes fun of every libertarian. It's got inside jokes about every libertarian, like from me to the Freedom Fiends to Stefan Molyneux to he who cannot be named. It pokes fun at everybody. Stefan Kinsella, everybody, everybody. And the only person who complained was Austin Peterson. Like literally, like he who cannot be named didn't even register on his radar.
Yeah, but listen, calling your mom and complaining does that really count as a complaint?
No, he called Jim fat and said he wanted to fight him.
Oh jeez,
like Trump.
Well, I don't think Jim Jesus is on Rumbler, but
this was on Facebeef.
Okay,
so I'm done with Austin Peterson forever. Well, I said that about, like, he who cannot be named the first time we mentioned him, like, 4 years ago, but then I went on. But go ahead. You got anything? For well,
so
wait, Nick,
is he gonna? So he's Nick a candidate. He's not. We're not really gonna introduce him as a new Nemesis character, or
no, because after this election, no one will remember him.
You know, it's a shame. It's now. A shame because he used to produce Freedom Watch with Judge Napolitano, but evidently he didn't learn anything. You know, like he got to work with, you know, all, I guess all he learned was like, you know, how to kiss up to people at Fox. You know, I guess that's basically the only lesson he came out of that with, which, hey, it's a valuable skill, but it seems to be wasted on him.
We have a Fox pundit. Angela Keaton, our co-host, has been on Fox a bunch of times, including Andrew Napolitano's show.
Nice.
Yeah. Do you know that? She's somebody, man. She's a star.
As like a guest or as fine. Sure.
Yeah. So moving along, we're going to auction young Nick Hazelton off at Porkfest. He'll be 18. Girls, he might
be consenting
single.
To this?
Will he be 18?
Yeah, he'll be 18. I built that and I can give it away.
You homesteaded Nick, basically, is what you're saying. Is like he was like unused resources and you've molded him into a freedom fiend, so therefore you get to auction him off as your property. I'm not sure about
and
that.
The money's gonna go to antiwar.com, our favorite non-consensual.
I don't know if they'd be cool with that. I don't know if we want to link antiwar.com to human to trafficking.
To selling children. He'll be an adult for about 3 weeks. Come Porkfest.
No.
How many yaks
just
would
say
we have to?
I don't approve. But that sounds
fun.
Can we get
a yak dowry and save him for one of your daughters there, James?
if he can hold out for another 20 years, he will be
your
eligible.
-4. -2. Yeah.
We're talking about Jim's age of consent, not his daughter's age of consent.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. A father's age of consent for his daughter is like 29, isn't it?
No, Jim's age has to be 70 before he consents.
Right. Basically, I have to be so old that I can't run after you. Like,
there
so.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Jim's getting younger, too, so that might be a problem. He's got a Benjamin Button thing going on. That picture of him holding up the Bipcot. I think it's the power of the Bipcot flag. It makes you younger when you touch it. There you go.
That excitement and the energy. Yeah.
Yeah. What, Lou?
Don't I have a Bipcot flag on the way?
There's one on the way to me that I'm going to send to you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Go to bipcot.org.
Worms.
So, Nick, Nick's been getting really cocky. When he first got on the show when he was 14, I think, he was like, hi, I'm on radio. I'm getting.
You're saying the power's gone to his head?
I'm getting high school credit to be on the radio. And now he's like,
when he knew his, I liked him better when he knew his place.
Yeah, Lou's really. I think that you is, and him are locking horns.
I'm sticking up for Nick 100% here.
No, 100%. Nick's going to come to Porkfest. He's going to he's been messing with me like the young lions, you know, mess with the old lions and steal their women. And I think he's going to come to Porkfest and eat Lou's heart in front of everybody and then steal his woman.
Yeah, no. the seared and seasoned yak burger.
And what did you say about youth?
Youth and ambition is no match for old age.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
I think
this is the song that Nick will be listening to on a continuous loop as he's being waterboarded with virgin soda at Porkfest.
Yep, it's true. Yeah. Armageddon. Those prophecies mean that Armageddon is 1,000 years away, or day after
That's
tomorrow.
Ronald Reagan.
Now, with regard to having...
This is more Bill Laswell produced World Beat from the 80s. This is World Destruction with Africa Bambaataa and Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols.
Sounds square. Extremely rectangular.
Remember this song?
Never heard it.
I don't know.
That's World Destruction from 1984. I was trying to impress James. I was talking about Bill Laswell and the fact that I did a record that was produced by him. James was not impressed and started talking about things that were produced by him.
Turns out he has produced some good stuff, though. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, he has a reputation for raping third world musicians, for going over and paying them $24 in beads and saying, blow your horn into here. And then taking
it back to Brooklyn. Do you think like the Smithsonian like preservation society is like doing anything better for like those blues artists in Mississippi? You know, like, I don't know.
They pay him $10 a bottle of wine and a woman. Yeah.
Hey, as far as I know, it's all consensual. That's all
and
I know.
The woman's really a man. They're blind. They don't know.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got?
Are we done talking about Nick Hazelton and how I'm going to remotely auction him off at Porkfest?
Good luck
with that. Raise money for antiwar.com.
You got yaks in your stables.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you may find that he's coming to Porkfest on yak back, and he's sort of amassing an army as he travels. So you may find that, like, you know, as he comes across, you know, like, you know, fellow ranchers and you know, they could be like this huge, you know, horde yak that militia arrives over the hill of Lancaster.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
G.G. Allen was born in Lancaster. Do you know who he is, James?
Yeah.
Lancaster, New Hampshire?
You speak about him all the time. Frequently.
If you get injured at Porkfest, the hospital you're going to is where he was born. You take a pilgrimage. Jesus Christ,
I'm going to be treated by free aid. It's not going to be... There's no way to get to a hospital because they outlawed Uber or something. You know?
Well, there's a really good... There's a documentary about G.G. Allen. It's on MVD, the people who put out my DVDs. And it's by... what's the name? Todd Phillips. The guy who later directed like Road Trip and all these big dumb Hollywood, you know, virgin... Losing your virginity. Like the modern equivalent of like... Revenge of the Nerds or Spaceballs. But he made his first film was a documentary about G.G. Allen. And at the end, there's a DVD extra on there that's G.G. Allen's last show before he went and OD'd in bed with two girls in Alphabet City, New York City. And it's like he's playing in what used to be a gas station in Manhattan, an afternoon show. And he like punches several members of the audience, smears feces on himself, cuts himself with glass. And then tries to burn the club down and literally like pours lighter fluid all over the club and tries to burn it down. And the sound man like locks himself behind this cage. And then G.G. Allen just like walks out in the street because the cops are coming. You can hear sirens. And the guy making the documentary followed him for for like an hour. It's like a 1 hour continuous shot DVD extra. And it's like, he leaves the club by himself. And by the time he gets to where he's going, there's like 25 people following him. It's like Jesus walking through, like Nick amassing his yak militia.
I don't think that's a fair, I see no similitude there. I just, no.
I'm not worried about Nick's yak militia because they'll all have a curfew.
Yeah. Or they'll be so old, they'll have to go to sleep at 7 p.m.
See, critics might say, you know, when you brought Nick in, you thought you were going to get this pliable, like piece of clay that you could form into the freedom fiend that you imagined. But it turned out that he is a free spirit and an individual, and he's exerting himself. And I think you find that troubling.
The monster's out of the test tube.
He's like Anakin. He was supposed to be the chosen one, but he
has to kill his.
Who's Palpatine?
Well, who's pelt? He's going to wear my pelt, actually, I think, after he kills
me. He's not friends. You know what? I would be worried if he starts hanging around with, like, anarcho-communists or...
There you go. He would never.
Well, they tempt young people. They tempt young people.
He's too smart. We've taught him too well, and he's too smart. Yeah, I wonder if we were anarcho-communists, if he would now be one. How pliable is he?
Ooh.
What makes you think he's that pliable? What makes you think he wasn't, like, you know, destined for greatness on his own?
No, I don't think Nick really graduates from the school of Michael Dean until he kills me and wears my pelt at Porkfest.
What makes you think he's not a Fed?
He's from Oregon. Very precocious Fed. That's a terrible thing to say.
Yeah, and then, like, he'll bust me. When he's like 21, he'll bust me for something, and then also like arrest me proactively or like retroactively for corrupting the morals of a minor.
What if he's like secretly working for the FCC? Okay.
If people don't know, we're talking about our co-host who's 17, Nick Hazelton. He's been our co-host since he was like almost 15. I think he was 14 when he started with Fiends.
Something
really?
Like that, yeah.
Or almost 16. He's been a co-host for like 2 years.
Yeah,
put it this way, when he first became a co-host, like,
embellishment in there.
Him being 18 was like distant horizon. Now it's like around the corner.
Now he's like draftable, is what you're saying? Like,
yeah, for the Fiends Army.
I've been a co-host for almost 2 years. So,
and you were on before him.
Yeah, because Michael Dean After Dark started out in March of.
We should say Yak.
2 years ago.
Yak.
Okay. Yak.
Yeah.
And hey, what do we say for no?
Nine.
Nine.
Yes.
And no, I'm not the Herman Cain. I had to think back to what his name is.
999.
You know, I've really missed him this cycle. Like, don't you think Herman Cain would have been a nice addition to the mix?
He's far more interesting than the token black conservative they have now.
That guy, definitely that guy's a little scary. Too. Yeah, like I never thought of Kane as scary. You know, these other dudes are pretty freaky scary. So
they are.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the one now, what's his name? Dr. So-and-so?
Oh, Carson.
Frankenstein. Yeah, he wants to outlaw, like, unlegalized pot, medical marijuana. He's a doctor who wants to outlaw medical marijuana.
Doing it wrong.
Yeah, it's not brain surgery, dude.
Well, seriously, I wonder how
somebody
many...
let somebody says, "Yeah, that's the guy I want to cut into my head."
Yeah,
really. Whoa.
I wonder how many times Ben Carson was talking to a patient or the patient's family and said, "You know what? This is really great how we're making this decision, but there's only one thing that's missing. I'm going to bring some government bureaucrats in here so we could decide how the healthcare is going to work."
And then we're going to do a prayer circle. You know, like that's the kind of stuff. Like, and now we've got some beads and rattles, and.
We're going to pray, but just in case, I did go to medical school for 8 years.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Just in case you don't pray hard enough or vote hard enough. I do have a minimal medical education. I was able to cheat my way through enough classes that I think I can remember. Yeah. No. Anyway, he's out anyway, isn't he?
Yeah.
Is he?
Well, that guy?
I think there's a couple that are still hanging around.
Has he actually officially dropped out yet, or is he just...
I don't know.
Bush did. Bush is smart enough to know when he's not wanted. I think Carson is still, like, clinging to his 2%. You know, his, like, double Austin Peterson's numbers.
Did you ever think you could feel sorry for a member of the Bush family?
Does.
Did you ever think that would ever happen?
Jeb, the child left behind.
Yeah. I never in a million years thought I would feel sorry, you know, like from Prescott to the first George Bush to W to even Barbara Bush. I never thought it'd be like, oh, they're just picking on that Bush just too hard. But when I saw him go, please clap.
Did he say that?
Yeah. He was addressing like one of his big campaign crowds of like seven people. And you could tell like somebody handed him the speech. Like he's so uninspired, unenthused, just some of the same old platitudes and cliches, like just like a computer could have just put together these keywords and just had him say it. And then he finishes it and he looks around and it's like just like a pin drop. He goes, please clap. And then it's like.
Well, it sounds like that Bush is being abused. Oh. Sounds like that Bush is just being torn apart.
Ooh. You know, even his mother makes fun of the guy. I'm like, that's harsh. You know, she's like, yeah, maybe there's been enough Bushes in office or something.
So Trump wants to open up libel laws in America and make it easier to sue people. Isn't libel his like business plan for running for president?
Well, it helps to be able to threaten more people.
Maybe it's for other people.
Yeah.
It's not
he's the only one.
Yeah. More for the fiends coming up.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This is more important than Trump is an idiot or Bernie Sanders is an idiot or Hillary is a liar, a socialist, and her pantsuit stinks, and Bernie smells like tinkle, and what does Trump smell like? Lies.
Self-tanner.
Like
I don't know.
Mass graves. I mean.
Yeah, there you go. Evicted people that he got kicked out so he could park his limos. All right, so.
Bankruptcy. Yeah.
Yes, he smells like bankruptcy. The U.S. is now literally fighting a proxy war in Syria with the U.S. So this
when
is
you say the U.S., who are we really talking about here?
Donald Trump.
Okay.
Obama. Bush. Northrop Grumman.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, I don't think, you know, having different factions fighting each other and, you know, all working for the same agendas, I don't think that's anything really new, is it?
Yeah, no. No.
It used to be, though, that they had a partner for this kind of stuff with the Soviet Union and the Eastern Bloc. They could be like, okay, look, you know, we're one side of the threat that helps you get contracts, and you give us the threat that helps us get contracts, and everybody's cool, right? And a Cold War, you know. But then, you know, the Soviet Union is kind of like, I think, let them down, and they've had to absorb more of both sides to keep the contracts going. That's my theory.
What does it say, like, you know, until 50 years ago, weapons were made to fight wars, and now wars are made to sell weapons.
Mm-hmm.
That's the theory. But might have been 100 years ago. Didn't the Spanish-American War, wasn't that started to sell weapons by Hearst or one of those, I don't know,
Hearst
one of those
was goons?
No, it was Rockefeller. Anyway, Hearst was the PR arm of it. He was in on it. So
he was the ABC of the time.
Yeah, so there's like two factions of Syrian rebels that the U.S. is funding who are now fighting each other. So literally, the U.S. is in a proxy war with itself. That's pretty funny, man.
And they're all driving those brand new Toyota trucks.
I know. And ISIS just declared the U.S. dollar their official currency.
Why would they do that? Well, that's the end of ISIS.
Why would they do something so strategically stupid as that?
I know. I thought they were going to.
Don't they know about Bitcoin?
Gold, ruin gold for everybody.
Seriously, ISIS, you're supposed to be using Bitcoin. That's what they say Bitcoin is for you terrorists and child molesters everywhere. And stuff.
Yeah.
The U.S. dollar is the currency of terrorists.
That's what I hear.
Now, I saw an article recently that the U.S. is supplying so many firearms to the Syrian rebels, insurgents over there, whatever, that they're now selling them on Facebook.
ISIS is selling them on Facebook.
Yeah, ISIS is selling them on Facebook.
We've been banned. We can't sell guns on
Facebook. Yeah, right. But ISIS can.
You have a bit of Bear Saskatchewan.
I see Randy England. Randy England's on the Fiend site right now. I'm talking to one guy. I see you, Randy England. Unless it's Austin Peterson. I think they live in the same city in Missouri. Hi, Austin.
No.
We're done talking about you.
I thought Austin lived in this area in D.C.
I thought Austin was selling guns to ISIS on Facebook. Isn't that true? Or is that a rumor?
It might be true.
There's a local buy-sell trade thing here in Polar Bear, Saskatchewan, and they have guns listed on there all the time.
Yeah.
Don't you have to sell, like, you know, this can of Mountain Dew, you know, for $500
No, it's straight up gun sales.
Where do people do that, James? That's funny.
Well, they like you know, the item for sale is, look at this nice holster, you know, or something. Like,
it comes with a gun.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm glad to see the rules are being ignored, and you know, commerce will, you know, always continue. So somehow.
Yeah. You know, it's funny too. Austin Peterson called. Now that I see him on our website, I want to talk about him more. He called Jim Jesus fat, but Jim Jesus has lost a bunch of weight. But Austin Peterson is still a dick.
And no matter how much weight he loses, he will still be a Richard.
Yeah. Oh, he's cute. He looks like a 12-year-old Boy Scout that would get molested by a priest.
Where do you think he got that the nickname of, like, most punchable? I don't like
from Lisa.
Is that really fair?
It might have been Lisa. Me. Yeah.
Now if he wins, you'll be threatening a government agent and they'll drone you. But you know the Secret Service would never protect a Libertarian Party candidate even if they won.
Well, it's not like they're ever going to win or break 5%.
Yeah.
Well, they killed Kennedy, too, so, you know, he was a liberal. He was an anti-communist liberal, and they were pro-communist, but no, I don't know. That's not this show. They'll be back without me for hour two. After this prediction market.
I'm not sure how long I'll be here.
What kind of commitment to the listeners is that, Lou? Come on. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be back. I don't know. You know.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite LivePair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by everyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Nice. Happy Leap Day.
Yay!
It's Leap Day. Facebook is actually asking me, suggesting, like, hey, it's Leap Day. Are you going to tell your friends that you're excited about the extra day? I'm like, this is like, if could anything be more, like, more boring than President's Day? You know, like, due to a fluke of the, you know, the ratio between rotations of the Earth and orbits of the sun, we have a an anomaly on the calendar that only happens once every 4 years. Like, whoa.
I just saw that too on Facebook. I'm like, eh.
Come on, Facebook. You know,
do better than lame. That. Mm-hmm. It's really lame.
Yeah, like we're going to celebrate. We get an extra day. It's like you're not going to die a day sooner to that. Like, like you've been given, granted an extra day of life. Don't squander
it's the little
it.
Things.
Hey, what do you think if, what if we, I think we should request that leap day be like forever, like tax free, right? Just be like, right. You know, please, may we have one day, sir, where we may work for ourselves every 4 years. Please let us have one day for us. No.
No. We already know the answer.
What if we just beg for one day to not be treated like slaves? Just one day every 4 years. Like, no. Because people would have so much fun. They'd be like, hey, can we do this 2 days, 3 days, every day?
Denied. Sorry.
Anyway.
I was playing the role of the government.
Speaking of LEAP, how about law enforcement against prohibition? Do you guys like them? Are you friends?
Yes. I don't like the law enforcement part, but.
Well, it's sort of like, you know, cops trying to go straight and do something good. Kind of. That's sort of the way I interpret it.
Fill me in. I haven't heard of this.
Law enforcement against prohibition. They're former cops that go around explaining how everything they've dedicated their lives to is total garbage, and how we should, you know, basically shun them. Not exactly. I may be embellishing. The funny thing is, like, I heard somebody, like an active duty cop, like was denied or kicked out. They're like, they want to ruffle some feathers, but not too many feathers. So. They're kind of cool, but not like as cool as we would hope they could be, you know, but I think they do play an important role because let's face it. A lot of this country, you know, reflexively wants to hear what anyone with a badge says. So when a former cop says, hey, you know, I was, you know, breaking kneecaps and putting hippies in jail, you know, for years. And then I said, maybe I don't have to do that. People listen. So anyway,
yeah.
Should we should think of LEAP on Leap Day.
There you go.
Is that a leap?
Better use no. for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what was up with Joe Biden? Didn't you say that Joe Biden is thrilled to be trending again? And
yeah.
What's up with that, Lisa?
I love Twitter so much. Yeah, so I went to Twitter tonight just to kind of see what was trending and what was going on, and I see Joe Biden and I'm like, "Oh, what did he do?" I love it
who
when I see
touch?
Joe Biden
who did
do
he
something.
Touch?
Right, I'm like,
who did he grab? Who has
who
that
stalk?
Who has that look on their face like they were just on a date with Bill Cosby? Like,
exactly. Well, he apparently got a standing ovation at the Oscars tonight because he introduced Lady Gaga, who sang a song about being an abuse survivor. And I'm
wait, did Lady Gaga get the applause or did Joe Biden?
Joe Biden did. And apparently when he got the applause, he said, and I quote, "I am probably the least qualified guy here to do this."
Sometimes they blurt out the truth. Sometimes they do. If the handler hadn't specifically written a script for it, you might get the truth. So, great.
Do you remember when, I don't remember what the event was, but he was addressing somebody in the audience and he told the guy, like, come on, stand up. And the guy was in a wheelchair. Joe Biden really needs everything to be scripted.
Wasn't that Trump?
Biden did it too. He said, God. And then he said, "Oh, God, love you."
Yeah, but the difference is that the Trump thing, they have to rough him up afterwards. Like, rough him up, get him out of here, rough him up.
And they talk about,
but
lawsuits
it's Vicente
and
Fox.
Walls.
Oh, we're gonna rough him up. We're gonna make him pay. Anyway, so that's what he was trending for. So it's not a scandal.
Well, no, but you know how people on Twitter are. There's always somebody who's going to have a really brilliant comment. So Joe Biden stood up and he said, too many men, he gave a speech about sexual abuse and preventing it. And he said, too many men and women around the country. I know. He's hardly the person.
Too many people around the country have strange old men sneak up behind them and touch them in inappropriate ways over and over again.
And leering at people and groping their children. And yeah, creepy Uncle Joe. So creepy Uncle Joe said that we must change the culture so that no sexual abuse survivor thinks they did anything wrong. Okay. Then he urged the crowd to intervene in situations where consent cannot or has not been given.
You can't write this material. Wow.
I could, but I'd have to drop acid for it.
Right. This guy.
Gosh. Now, presumably his handlers are like, yeah, this is going to be great. And it's trending, right? Now, is it trending in his favor or are the jokes overwhelming the original story?
Unfortunately, the tweets are mostly supportive. And there's actually people who are saying, we need Joe, you know, we need Biden to run for president and save
us. How do you know those? How do you know those aren't just like a robot tweet army, like purchased?
How do you know that's not anarcho-capitalist radio show hosts? They're just looking for low hanging fruit to tell jokes about.
Yeah, right. No, that's highly likely. Yeah.
Well, there was one tweet.
I almost donated to Trump just to make sure that I would have material all the way through November.
I have a friend who said he voted for him for that reason. He's like, I have to keep this going. I have to see the GOP get destroyed.
Yeah, it's all fun until the gulags and mass graves. Okay, so let's all laugh it up now. All right, but we kind of know where this goes. So. I'm sort of hoping that there's some, I don't know. I don't know what I'm hoping for because there's no path I see that's going to lead to nobody getting elected.
Right.
Yeah. Well, to be serious, I think that it needs to get so horrible that nobody will want another government again. So I personally would like to see Bernie, Hillary, and Trump all win. I'd like to see all the win. Yeah, what'd you call it the other day?
Combine them.
A turducken?
Yeah, like a political turducken, where you shove one inside the other and then shove them inside another one.
Yeah.
Now, that's some politics I could get behind, right? And there's something in it for everybody, right?
Yeah.
If we could somehow get like Marco Rubio in there...
political turducken. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I just think of how great it would be when the empire just comes crashing down harder than you'd ever thought possible.
Right? Yeah, but I've been saying that for like four or five different regimes, okay? Like,
no, you haven't.
That's ever since I've been alive. They're like, oh, you know, it seems bad, but don't worry. This is, you know, like soon no one will stand for this. There's going to be a revolution. It's going to collapse. People just say,
I hate to get all old timey, but I don't ever remember an election cycle being this absolutely ridiculous. At least in the past, they pretended not to be cretins and low rent douchebags and
right.
And
yeah, they were. It was always in there, but it was like under the surface, like the unspoken douchebaggery was there. And it seeped out from time to time, but at least they thought they had to conceal it. Now they lead with it. Now it's like, look at what a racist, xenophobe, bigoted jackass I am. And like, no, I'm a bigger bigot. No, I'm stupider. No, I hate more people. Like,
yeah, I will
commit a race to the bottom for a while.
I will commit more war crimes than everybody else on this panel. Period.
Yeah.
Oh, Michael just sent me an email, and it appears that it requires an explanation that everything that Biden and all politicians do is non-consensual. So whether walk up behind you and touch you, or whether they send their goons to walk up behind you and take your money, it's all non-consensual.
Yeah. Yep.
So just wanted to put that out there.
Let's get lectured on consent by Joe Biden. That, I mean...
Of all people I know.
Wow.
Well, like he said, he's the least qualified guy to do it.
Like I said, he blurts out the truth from time to time. Like Hillary blurts out the truth from time to time, too. I think it's a game for them where they can laugh at it back at the club later, you know, where they're like, yeah, I actually told them we're not going to end the drug war because we're making too much money. Yeah, I actually blurted, you know, and they're like, And they know it doesn't matter as long as there's some guy with a different team jersey that's even more horrible. Right. It's like just a race to the bottom. How low can it get?
I expect the winner of the election to start shooting an automatic rifle into the ceiling on election night. President Camacho.
I was about to say that. Right. Yep.
But you know things are getting even weirder when like the ex-president of Mexico is like the voice of reason in the media. Like he's like, I'm not paying for his effing wall. Yeah. And his wasn't FCC friendly.
My name's Crime and Crime don't pay. I'm paying for your wall. Yo.
And Trump's like, no, he's going to pay. He's really going to, you know, like, well, what do you mean, Mr. Trump? How is he going to pay? He's, you know, we make him pay. You know how we, you know, make him pay. You know, like, you know, make him pay.
Hey, senor, I'm still not paying.
And he's like, well, it's going to be 10 feet higher now.
Well, what if he doesn't pay? Well, you know what happens to people that don't pay.
And maybe 10 feet taller, still won't pay. More Freedom Fiends coming up.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateurs, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Freedom Beans. We're back. Lisa. Lou.
Yo.
Jim. All right, so we're sort of reflecting on what was it, that movie, Idiocracy? Is that where we're at?
Yes.
We've arrived?
We arrived.
The question is how, you know, it's like, it is kind of boring to talk about, like, politicians and stuff, but I feel that there's still value. Number one, the material is just too hard to resist, right? It's just too easy. Mm-hmm. But it also is sort of a measure of the voting public at large, right? Because they're basically these guys like Trump and Bernie and Hillary, they're fulfilling a market demand, and they're being demanded. That's what voters are demanding. Okay, so do you want to be part of that group? I don't.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah. So that's why. I'm opting out.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I don't want to be associated with that bunch of clowns. There's a article from The Blaze. I don't usually read The Blaze, but it came out kind of recently. It's written by Matt Walsh, and I don't know if he's a columnist there or guest columnist, or I don't know. Maybe he tags graffiti in the subway for all I know. But anyway, It talks about how the Trump supporters, they love his straight talk and they love that he's politically incorrect. And in this,
and he seems almost as stupid as they are, and they can really relate to him.
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, in this article it says, you say you want someone who's politically incorrect. You're so desperate for political incorrectness, a supremely ridiculous reason to vote a guy into the Oval Office, but never mind, that your esteem for him only grows when he belittles the disabled, mocks American prisoners of war, calls women dogs, calls his opponents pussies, calls for the assassination of women and children, says he'd like to have sex with his daughter, brags about his adultery, etc. You're excited by the most vile vile statements and most cretinous behavior imaginable. Not remotely deterred by any of it, no matter how many times he gloats over infidelity, curses his opponents, and publicly ogles his own children. Because you say it's politically incorrect? That is how unfathomably desperate you are for someone to come along and just say what's on their mind, you claim? You're so fed up with political correctness that you celebrate political incorrectness without distinguishing between the healthy sort and the LOL I slept with married women and I'm not sorry sort? It doesn't matter if you don't personally agree, you say. You just respect the hell out of someone who's willing to shoot straight, even when shooting straight means comparing Ben Carson to a child molester, calling the entire electorate of Iowa stupid and referring to women as pieces of ass. So
whoa,
that's just part of it. And quite frankly, you've been touching on it, but if you're a Trump supporter, you are the lowest freaking degenerate on earth right now. I'm sorry. You are supporting a sociopathic scumbag fueled by vinegar and water. He's
wait a minute, but he's going to make America great again.
Okay. All right. Well, if you P words are waiting for a politician to make America great again, that probably explains why America's not great anymore. You stupid P words. There, how do you like it? How does it feel, Trump supporters? America's not great because you're a bunch of P words waiting for politicians to make America great again. Now just get down on your knees.
Yeah, it's the truth. It is absolutely the truth.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Trump supporters are as bad as like 1,000 Austin Petersons.
Well, Well,
maybe not that bad, but they're all in the same ballpark.
How do you tell them apart? That's what I'm trying to figure out. It's kind of the same concept to me. That summary was just so brutal that I'm like, what is left? What is left? What do people stand on? But you know, just the thing about voting is the people don't even know these things. They don't. They saw a soundbite on TV. He looks nice. He's, you know, I've heard of him. Oh, I like The Apprentice. Right, like that's isn't that really all the decisions they're making? They don't know any of these horrible other things about them, or am I being too generous?
No, I agree.
You're probably being a little generous.
I mean, people will say about Trump, oh, you know, he's a successful businessman, and you know, yeah, the whole oh, he tells it like it is thing, and I'm like, have you ever really looked in and read about him? Like, do you really know about what kind of person this man is?
Right, and I'm not even suggesting they do that, but only in the event that they might be a supporter, then they should do that. I think it's great not to be interested, but...
Oh, me too. But if you're going to support somebody, I think that you need to be able to back that up.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT No Gov License allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Sort of kind of let Trump have it there pretty good. It's not like he's the only one that deserves it, right? I mean, there's several other scumbags that we can't seem to get rid of.
Not even Penicillin will get rid of that itch.
Well, you know, and
or that burning sensation, I should say.
Ooh. Well, too soon. You know, I think people just feel sorry for that old guy. Like, he still has that, like, oh, come on, you can't beat up an old guy. Now, of course, you know, I think the real, like, scary one is Hillary. To me, I find her frightening her total lack of morals, her just lack of limits, her political cunning. I don't know. At least her life seems really good when I watch it on House of Cards. So I just feel like that's her life, and I'm watching it when I watch that show, and season four is coming up. So I don't know. Soon. I got to hand it to her. I think she is really cunning, and she has a lot of political savvy. For instance, when I went to Google Hillary Clinton memes, I found no dank stash. Okay.
Oh.
So, you know, either for or against, though, you know, maybe she really hasn't come out with like her own aggressive tactical meme deployment yet. But, you know, I think she's playing it, you know, like sort of, you know, old school, you know, I just, you know, spread rumors about your family kind of stuff and make people get out of my way. Kind of, I don't know. What about her, Lou? Do you have any material for her?
Did she write that book called It Takes a Village to Raise an Idiot?
Sounds like something she would write. Yeah.
I actually, what she said, the purpose of the state was to educate and indoctrinate and raise the child. And that
Prussian,
the job,
Prussian model.
And that the job of the parents was secondary when it came to doing that.
Well, that is standard collectivist mentality. You'll find that at every school board in the country. Exact same mentality. They are the owners of the children, and parents, you know, will be told what their involvement will be. If these people had their way, that's the way they think.
Yeah, so, the children belong to all of us, as they say.
Yeah,
our
so
children.
So, can you imagine this political turducken? If I mean, imagine the violent nature of Trump mixed with like this the ruthlessness and lack of remorse and experience of Hillary like rolled into one, and then you throw Bernie into it just to get the kids on board.
You know what?
That's the stuff
triggered.
Of nightmares.
You just triggered
me. Nightmares.
I need to go. I need to go my safe space. Lisa, protect me.
Well, luckily,
I'll
you know.
Try.
Yeah. That's why we should just ignore these people. Really,
it's horrifying.
You know, it's like nobody. Really. You know, the where people get into trouble is when they start to take these guys seriously, and start handing them power. So let's just refrain from that, folks. Come on, guys. Vote for nobody, right?
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
The reason nobody that, would be better for president.
The reason that America's not great anymore is because you P-words keep expecting a president to make it great.
Exactly.
Yep.
So, anyway. Yeah.
All right, so.
I'm sucking wind here. I'm going to take off after this segment. I need to get my beauty sleep because I do have
yeah,
to, I do have to
your be level up. Of commitment is astounding.
Yeah. Well, at least you have voted harder and I'd stay for the whole show, but sorry, can't help you out, bro. I have to be up in 5 hours.
All right. Well, you know what I want to talk to Lisa about is this progression of the Apple phone unlocking story, which seems to have so many different layers to it. Can we entice you with this onion of an apple story?
Only if an apple a day keeps the government away.
Well, did you watch this interview on ABC with Tim Cook, Apple CEO, recently? It's a 30-minute interview.
I've been given a dare. I have to quote Michael Dean. Donald Trump is the correct choice for incest Americans.
My.
And if I was single, you know what I would have in common with Trump? I'd like to bang his daughter, too. Oh!
Oh, my goodness.
Because didn't he say that he would
he did
mess around with his daughter? Yeah, he did.
Uh-huh. He said something really weird like that. Like,
yeah,
he did.
Why? How do you get... You got to do what you got to do to get the evangelical vote down south.
Oh!
Oh!
Yeah, they don't like the incest, but they sure do like the straight talk. Okay. All right, yeah, let's get back to an apple a day keeps the government away.
Well, the what I thought was interesting, this interview is about this, the federal government told Apple, hey, can you help us circumvent security on a phone? And evidently there's a story there. And so the CEO does this interview. The thing that I noticed was interesting was I just listened to their language more than what they're saying, because everything is so scripted and and rehearsed. The language of the ABC was just state mouthpiece. Like just I thought of Pravda.
So it was business as usual.
Yeah, but it was really out in the open. It was all just about don't you think you should really be doing this? Don't you think you should unlock it? What if a child is killed? Don't you really? And Tim Cook has these well-rehearsed explanations why they're not going to sacrifice the security of hundreds of millions of users for this one case and the precedent and like all these deep, long arguments, and then he just kept coming back with, but don't you really think you should? This terrible, terrible interview style. And, and of course, Tim is, he's going to say whatever's going to be profitable for Apple in the long run, right? So Ed Snowden said, love the act, not the actor. When someone asked him what he thought of Apple, he's like, I'm not going to cheerlead for Apple here. But I will applaud, at least somebody saying no. So, but I don't know. Seems like everybody's like has a side on this. Do you have a side on that, Lisa?
Me?
Yeah.
I just don't believe any. I didn't see that interview yet, but I do want to watch that. I'm just kind of waiting to see what happens. I think that it's all just a show.
Yeah, but it's each has their own show, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like they're sort of competing for the audience, which would be like us, like consuming their stories and their agendas. And it seemed like Tim Cook was kind of mad that the feds came at it publicly instead of through their like established back channels for this kind of stuff. That was kind of like the reading what I got from between the lines from this interview. It's like, the real objection was like, hey, we could have just worked this out quietly, probably. And, a conspiracy person might say, what about all these continual federal lawsuits of IP lawsuits that Apple is constantly in? Either initiating lawsuits or being sued. Federal courts are constantly determining the profits of Apple, right?
Right, because there was that recent suit, I guess a couple of years ago, Apple won, Samsung sued them over some sort of, IP stuff. And
it's constant. It's just constant, right? Like teams of lawyers warring at each other to claim credit for the most simplest little bitty innovations. Like, it's just like lawyers sort of perpetuating their own existence. But
it's patent trolling.
It is, yeah, because Apple won. Well,
they're sitting on like hundreds of billions of dollars. Like other companies look at them and like, can we get a slice of that? Yeah, and of course, how do you accumulate hundreds of billions of dollars without having a few friends in high places?
Yeah, and then I don't know if you heard this, but recently that case that Apple won a few years ago got reversed. And now Samsung, I guess Apple's going to have to pay them. Yeah, it's just this like cycle.
It's like a badminton, just back and forth constantly.
Yeah,
from what I can tell, I'm no expert on this stuff, but
it's welfare.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah. Uh huh.
But it's just. Do you think there's any credibility in there?
No, I saw an article recently that said that one of those companies paid the other company in like $2 billion in pennies or something like that. It's like 47 dump trucks
for an IP settlement thing?
Yeah.
IP lawsuit.
Gosh. Yeah. Who do they think they are? Robert Fernandez paying his property taxes? that's some inside baseball there.
Well, we're talking about Rob Fernandez. Yeah.
But not everybody knows who he is.
Well, Google him and you'll see his video. Robert Fernandez, like tax, and it'll come up. with him paying like a $7,000 or $8,000 tax bill to the local street gang. You know, it's like $7,000 or something, and he paid it in $1 bills. Also gave them complimentary donuts for them to consume while counting. I'd love to see, you know, what these companies would look like without all of this IP nonsense, right? Mm-hmm. We'd have iPhones for like $20.
We'd be on the iPhone like 60 instead of the 6.
And it would run Fiend Phone. Like, it would be that good.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, hey, what was Bill Gates' position on this, on working with the FBI?
Oh, I think his position was, oh, yeah, by all means. Mm-hmm. Give them whatever they want.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I saw.
I don't know if that's a direct quote, but that's my understanding of it.
That seems consistent with, you know, what I think about him. I mean, how many Windows licenses does the federal government buy? I mean, hundreds of millions. I think each cruise missile has its own license to the OS, possibly the operating system of I don't know. Would they ever allow Windows in combat situations? Probably not.
I don't know. It's hard to say. Could you imagine if you had to reboot your tank?
What do they care? As long as the contract goes in.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
So let's try to wrap up this Apple story. I guess it's, you know, it's unfolding, and it's just kind of interesting to see how all the different players acting out in their own interest and how that, what's that ultimately going to mean for our own privacy on our own electronic devices and not just phones. Soon the argument will be about the operating system in your car. And, think about that. And that, you know, is one of the big things that Tim Cook was mentioning in his interview, was that he's imagining that, you know, there's no way that he's going to allow this to be an incentive. There's no way that it's going to be a precedent. There's no way that he's going to allow that to happen, and that this is not about one phone getting unlocked for one time. Mm-hmm. And then the FBI, there was a quote from the FBI that said they're already, you know, looking at this for a whole bunch of other jurisdictions. Like, if this suddenly they'll crack a phone for you, there's going to be a line at the door for, you know, every scumbag law enforcement agency out there is going to start doing this. So,
oh yeah, of course, because remember last week we read that there were at least 12 other cases, and none of them were associated with any kind of terrorism. And I think you'd pointed out that they're probably just minor drug cases.
Right. Listen to this. Here's a quote from Tim that I thought was pretty good. If a court can ask us to write this piece of software, think about what else they could ask us to write. Maybe it's an operating system for surveillance. Maybe it's the ability for law enforcement to turn on the camera. I mean, I don't know where this stops, but I do know this is not what should be happening in this country. This is not what should be happening in America. Now here's where he goes, kind of like diverges like back to like, but I love government, because he says, if there should be a law that compels us to do it, it should be passed out in the open. And the people of America should get a voice in that. Like, somehow we would be right, right?
Like, yeah, let's let everybody vote on that and decide, you know.
But you could give it, fine. You could be generous and say, like, what he's really saying is, you know, I think he's really trying to make a strong case to be like, look, let's leave the phones locked up here. Come on.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it's think about how bad it would be for them as a company to.
Well, he mentioned that that today people have more personal details on their phone than possibly in their home.
Oh, okay. Certainly.
So, the implications are extreme, and I think he realizes that. And luckily, he sees market value in at least appearing to defend privacy for his customers. So that means privacy still has market value. That's good news for our final segment, right?
That it's good news. I mean, ever since Snowden came out with all of his information, I've never felt like I have had any privacy. So I'm very careful about what I say and do on my phone. But, still.
Even if you're extremely careful, there's probably all kinds of GPS tagging maybe going on, or, recording where you've been, who you've talked to, text message histories, browser histories.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole world of stuff that if it fell into the hands of the government could be sifted and picked at to find just the right things, or your network. Who are these freedom fiends?
Oh,
we've got Lisa
DeLazio's
phone here. it's like, there's a huge number of emails with Michael W. Dean, possibly a fellow cell member in this freedom fiends thing. Better deploy some agents to Wyoming. It could happen. I don't know. Like, that's the way they think, though.
Oh, totally. It could, yeah.
What other good news we had? You've got more good news for us.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So I have this story that when I first saw the headline, I was really scared to read this because I was afraid it was going to have a really bad outcome. So a little girl had a birthday party recently in California, and she has a pet, a little white pony, and her pony was dressed as a unicorn for this party, and the pony escaped the birthday party.
Oh my goodness. I think I saw that, and cops hunted it.
Yeah, they did for like 4 hours.
Did it survive? Did it escape?
It survived.
Yes!
Yeah, they did not shoot the unicorn.
Oh, that's always a good ending to the story when it says the unicorn was not shot.
I know. I was very happy.
They're still trying to figure out what charges to press against it, though.
Yeah, it was in custody, but it's alive and well.
I wish it had escaped the cops and just run to freedom.
Me too.
How do you get a unicorn for your kid's party? That's new. Is this the genetic engineering finally paying off?
If only. I mean, like 40 years too late for me.